Chapter 6 Curiosity and a Canary.
Wait in here, I'll be with you in a minute, said Mr. Johnson, opening the door to the study. Linda looked around the room. There were bookcases on all four walls, full of books. On a large wooden desk, there was a computer and some family photos. Linda smiled at a picture of Matt as a baby. The light from the window fell on some papers on the desk, catching Linda's attention. She saw pages from old newspapers, and pages of Mr. Johnson's notes about them. She began to read.
From Newbridge Times, 21st of July, 1864. Newbridge mine disaster. Miners trapped. 24th of July. No hope for 43 men and boys. Did Everslime know of danger? 25th of July. Everslime's daughter, one of the dead in coal mine accident. Desperate father has no responsibility.
Everslime, that name again,
thought Linda, very interested now. She looked at the notes again.
Everslime knew seam was dangerous. Mine losing money. Insurance? Many of dead were in union. Daughter's diary? Negative effect on Bob Everslime's election possibilities.
The door opened and Matt's dad came in, a very serious expression on his face. This is very sinister. You say we're in danger, and now this arrives. He had a letter in his hand. Linda read it. The words were made of letters cut from newspapers. It said, You're too curious about the past. Remember, curiosity killed the cat. And this is not the first, said Mr. Johnson. Letters, phone calls, all threatening me and my family. Linda was confused. So there were two Everslimes, one in the past, who was a mine owner, and one in the present, who was trying to be elected mayor of Newbridge. But how were these facts connected to the threat sent to Mr. Johnson? One thing was clear to her now.
It wasn't an accident,
she whispered with terror, thinking out loud. What accident? Asked Mr. Johnson.
The car,
murmured Linda distractedly. Before Matt arrived, she had to get out of the house. She needed time to think.
I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson. I have to go. I'll come back tomorrow morning, I promise. Please be careful.
Who is that?
Asked Mrs. Johnson, watching from a window as Linda hurried away. A friend of Matt's, said her husband, thinking. Jane, we don't need the car this evening, do we? It's making strange noises today. I'll take it to the garage tomorrow morning.
Yes, dear, all right.
Mrs. Johnson smiled. The doorbell rang. That must be Matt, said Mr. Johnson. He opened the door. Hi, Matt, good day. You've just missed your friend, that girl, Linda, he said.
Who?
Matt looked surprised.
I don't know anyone called Linda.
The coal mine was an infernal scene. The terrible noise of the machines, the coal dust and steam, the incessant movement of boys pushing tubs full of coal. The penetrating sound of a siren announced the end of a shift, and miners, black from head to foot, came out from the pit head. Some of the boys in this group looked at Grimlar, and Matt saw terror in their eyes.
Hello, dear boys, said Grimlar. Here's a new companion,
and he pushed Matt towards them.
Watch your rations. He's got a big appetite.
And laughing nastily, he went away.
Don't worry,
said a boy with sad eyes.
It's better here than at the workhouse. Nobody hits you, and there's more food.
Matt noticed with shock that the boy had only one arm.
Billy, let's go,
said another boy.
They're sending the canary down into the new seam.
There's a new seam, but the men think it's dangerous,
Billy told Matt as the group returned to the pit head.
Mr. Everslime ordered a canary test to show that it's safe.
Matt watched a miner with a cage enter the lift. In the cage was a small yellow bird with a dark beak. As the lift descended, Matt felt the tension. Nobody spoke. The minutes passed. Finally, the lift returned to the surface. In its cage, the yellow canary sang happily and the tension disappeared. But Matt noticed something strange. The bird's beak was now a lighter colour.